Welcome to the ULM Forum. I'm Jay Curtis. Business owners are known for their focus. That focus on the business can sometimes keep them from developing their skills as a manager or as a leader. This summer, the University of Louisiana at Monroe College of Business Administration is offering a series of bite-sized workshops, all free of charge, that can provide continuing education for local business owners and their staff. Susan Duggins is the Executive Director of the Northeast Louisiana Business and Community Development Center. Welcome to the ULM Forum.
Thank you, Jay. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
First of all, tell us a little bit about the Northeast Louisiana Business and Community Development Center.
All right. The Northeast Louisiana Business and Community Development Center was originated several years ago when the university, specifically the College of Business, received a fairly sizable grant. And we certainly owe Senator Landrieu and Congressman Alexander many thanks for helping us achieve that grant. Really, the purpose of the center is to advance entrepreneurship and to support economic development and community development in the broader Northeast Louisiana Delta region. And it's through the auspices of the NLB CDC that the College of Business is able to host a summer workshop series this summer.
So to further those goals, you have the summer workshop series this summer. A couple of those workshops already gone by, building a successful business Facebook page, controlling cash flow, and practical web and cloud-based solutions for your business. How have those gone?
Actually, the workshops this year have been terrific. Our presenters have done an excellent job connecting with the audience. And one of the things that's really amazed me, Jay, is not the interest necessarily of the participants in the topic, but the engagement that they've had with one another. It's really been rewarding, and certainly something that we hoped would happen is that they would have really a chance to interact with one another. They've asked a lot of good questions of the presenter, and throughout the course of the workshop itself, the individuals who were attending had a chance really to offer suggestions to the other people that were attending the workshop.
So there was some synergy.
Absolutely.
In the room.
Absolutely.
So
what
kind of feedback have you had so far from those who've attended the workshops?
They thought that they were excellent workshops and very timely, and that the topics, that we'd really done a very good job of selecting the topics, which is always a nice thing to hear.
You also have the benefit of some terrific business faculty who are doing the presenting. Talk a little bit about the expertise level that's coming to these workshops.
Well, that's really one of the benefits to the people who are attending, and also for the college to be able to showcase the expertise of the business faculty. These workshops really represent an opportunity for the faculty in the College of Business to give back to the community, really to engage with business owners and also the nonprofit organizations in our community. It's a chance really for them to share their expertise and resources. Really provides a sense of continuing education for many of the leaders in our community, business owners and members of nonprofit organizations.
So after taking a little bit of break off around the Independence Day holiday, coming up on July 14th, Dream or Reality, Predicting Future Cash Flow Needs with Instructor of Business, Dr. Arturo Rodriguez. Tell us what's coming up in that workshop.
Well, you know, I think that we all have dreams. And whether you're looking at your personal life or as a business owner or you run a nonprofit organization, we all have dreams and things that we want to achieve. Sometimes those things actually happen. Sometimes they don't. And sometimes they happen solely by luck. Really, the purpose of this workshop is to help people really assess the things that they want to accomplish and figure out what they need to begin doing today to be able to achieve their goals and dreams.
So it can be looking at some serious goal setting and relating that to a business cash flow.
Absolutely.
On Tuesday, July 19th, Perils, Hazards, and Losses, Identifying and Managing Risk. It kind of goes in the other direction. Tell us about that one.
Well, you know, as a business owner, really, or as an individual running a nonprofit organization, we all have insurance needs. And sometimes those are things that we don't think a lot about because we like to pretend that things never happen. But they do. You know, for instance, who would ever think that a hurricane in the southern part of the state would create such a deluge of rain here that would create all kinds of obstacles for people. And that's what this opportunity is all about, is really helping people assess the needs that they have and having the appropriate vehicles to be able to take care of themselves.
Again, your presenter coming from the College of Business.
Exactly. Christine Berry, Dr. Christine Berry.
She's the director of insurance studies and works in risk management. So who better to present something like that?
Very accomplished.
Also coming up July 26th, the Roadmap to Success Strategic Planning. This kind of goes back to cash flow, but maybe in a little bigger picture sense.
It does. You know, we all do better if we have a roadmap to success. You know, otherwise, it's kind of like getting in the car. If you don't know where you're going, you don't really care where you're going. You can have a nice little drive around. But if you really have a need to get somewhere, it's far better to have an idea of where you're going, not only where you're going, but how you're going to get there.
And again, two accomplished faculty members there presenting that one on July 26th.
That's correct. Dr. Stan Williamson, in fact, will be our primary presenter for that workshop.
And then rounding it out, moving all the way into August, what's hot? August is a hot month. Marketplace positioning with Tom DeNarden, Instructor of Management Marketing and General Business.
Mr. Tom DeNarden will be our presenter for that workshop, and he's going to help people really figure out how to best position themselves in the marketplace. You know, we talk a lot about plans and we talk about how to manage your cash flow, but the truth of the matter of it is, if you're not bringing in the cash, it's hard to plan.
Who should be coming to these workshops?
Well, the workshops really are open to all members of the community. You know, they're really designed primarily to help people who are in business or who are looking to start a business. In fact, we've got some people that have been coming to these workshops that know that they're going to be opening a business, but they're using this as an opportunity really to gain some knowledge ahead of time. So we welcome everybody to come. And the one thing that we hope, we've had some people do this year, which has really been a rewarding thing to see. We've had some people bring their staff with them. Different people on their staff coming to different workshops, and it's really a great chance for a business owner or a board member to engage in professional development. And it's been really kind of an interesting thing to see as the workshops progress, the people that are there that are a part of a team, really the interaction they have with one another as all of a sudden they realize things that they could be doing on their own in their businesses every day that would help change the way they operate.
So certainly some team building opportunities.
Absolutely.
There too. Certainly the university having a chance to give back this way in that all of these workshops are free.
Exactly. They are, which is the most wonderful thing of all.
For a business owner looking at the bottom line to be able to say, I can come, I can bring my staff, and it's not going to cost me anything, that's attractive.
Well, they're close. They're all held on the ULM campus. They're all free. And what better thing for a business owner or the director of a nonprofit agency to do than to offer their staff some opportunities to learn?
So how can you get some more information or to register for these?
Certainly, to do that, go to our website. The web address is www.ulm.edu/NLBCDC.
That's Susan Duggins. She's the Executive Director of the Northeast Louisiana Business and Community Development Center. Susan, thanks so much for talking with us today about the workshops.
It was my pleasure, Jay. Thanks so much for having us.
This year, the United States commemorates the sesquicentennial of the Civil War. 150 years after the war began, historians are still gaining insight into the lives of Americans on both sides. ULM professor of history Terry Jones is highlighting Louisiana's contributions. He'll be writing two articles for the New York Times, as well as a monthly column in the Monroe News Star. Dr. Jones, welcome back to the ULM Forum.
Thank you, Jay. My pleasure.
Tell us about the projects you're working on to commemorate that 150-year mark from the start of the Civil War.
Yes, two things I'm doing. One is a monthly newspaper column that will run throughout the 4 years, the sesquicentennial. And I'm taking each month something that happened relating to Louisiana and the Civil War 150 years ago before. And then the New York Times is running an ongoing series called Disunion. And I'll be doing two columns for them, one in July about how the Confederate battle flag came to be created and designed. And then in December, a story about the Louisiana Tigers, who were kind of notorious for their off-battlefield antics, and two of the first executions in the Virginia Army were Tigers, and kind of how they gained that reputation.
And eventually becoming the mascot of the Louisiana State
That's
University.
That's right. When the LSU football team was created, they adopted the Tiger mascot in honor of the Louisiana Tigers, the Civil War fame.
Going back to the News Star monthly column, what kind of research are you doing to look into month by month what was going on in the region?
You kind of build up on other publications. I also wrote a two-volume historical dictionary of the Civil War that had a detailed chronology, and so I can just flip back through my own work and kind of see what was happening that month and go from there. farther along in your career, the easier it gets to be.
And the two articles for the New York Times, looking at the how the Confederate battle flag was created, that sounds like a fascinating story.
It is a Louisiana connection. Louisiana General P.G.T. Beauregard came very confused in the battle. He saw a Confederate flag and mistook it for the U.S. flag and realized it causes confusion. And so he had a very distinctive flag designed just for the Army to carry, and that's the famous St. Andrew's Cross, and became more popular, actually, than the official Confederate flag.
The Civil War being celebrated and remembered through print publications, but what kinds of celebrations are there around the country? Obviously, starting out in earlier this spring, there had to have been something for the beginning at Fort Sumter.
Right. There was a Fort Sumter is where the war began, so there was a big celebration, or not, I'd say celebration of the war, commemoration of the war. But it's kind of surprising. There doesn't seem to be as much interest for the sesquicentennial as it was for the centennial back in the 1960s. At that time, it was a huge national phenomenon with Congress getting involved. And I'm not sure now if it's because of financial straits or controversies over Confederate symbols or what. Certainly a lot of events are taking place, but it seems to be more site-specific and particular people and places rather than a nationwide effort.
What kind of a different place does the Civil War hold in the American psyche than maybe it did 50 years ago?
I think there's more of a more debate now about the role of slavery, because up until fairly modern times, slavery was pretty much ignored, and slaves themselves, the role they played. And so that's more of a modern phenomenon. And the role of women and other minorities, Indians, the study of the war is branching out a lot more now than it was. Used to, it was strictly battles and battlefields and generals. And now it's more all-encompassing of everybody.
Well, you had the encyclopedia. Kelby Uchley had the Flora and Fauna of the Civil War, just published last year. Mm-hmm. Is that something you see changing in the beyond the basics of the historical battles and military side of it to looking more into maybe the sociological aspects of it?
Yeah, I think that's going to continue, and I think it's a good thing. Part of the problem is just that every battle in general has been written to death, and historians are always trying to find their niche. But there's just a lot of fields like that that just haven't been looked into that much, and there's more and more books and articles on the social aspect than ever before.
And there are some things from the Civil War that you say that American historians are still learning that can be applied to wartime today.
One thing that's kind of a modern link is we're just now beginning to realize what a huge problem they had with post-traumatic stress and drug addiction after the war, that there were really no drug laws to speak of. And so many soldiers who suffered wounds became drug addicts. And they didn't know what it was, but you read a lot of letters about family members saying so-and-so came back from the war and just never was the same. And what they describe really is post-traumatic stress. And so there's been more studies looking, kind of comparing the Civil War with the Vietnam era. And that's just one kind of a new field that's come up in the last few years.
Your columns in the New Star, appearing on a monthly basis throughout the period of the Civil War 150 years ago, are going to be dealing with some topics of local interest for things that happened locally in the war. Can you give us a preview of some of the notable events here in this region?
Yes, the war definitely affected locally, particularly about midway through the war during the Vicksburg Campaign. There was a small battle near a place called Richmond in Madison Parish. And the Union Army retaliated by burning down the entire town. And that Richmond was the parish seat of Madison Parish. And when it was burned, Tallulah eventually became the parish seat. So that's an effect of the war.
Because Richmond was gone.
Richmond's gone. You can still see a sign on the interstate for the Richmond exit, but it's a community. It's not really
a
town. Union forces came down the railroad. The railroad was there during the war in old U.S. 80. And they made a raid on Monroe, had a little battle at Mer Rouge. And when they got here, they burned some hospitals and warehouses and came back the following year with gunboats up the river. And they burned the railroad bridge there near the courthouse and burned some more buildings. So in Lake Providence and Newellton, Tensall Parish, that whole area was ravaged, burning and looting, and just a terrible place to live back then.
Dr. Terry Jones is a professor of history here at the University of Louisiana at Monroe. He has a monthly column for the New Star focusing on a monthly Louisiana Civil War event that happened 150 years ago, and is also writing two articles for the New York Times, part of its daily Disunion series. Dr. Jones, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Jay.
You can listen, download, podcast, and share the ULM Forum online at kedm.org in the listening room.